From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with journalist Alejandro Bermudez, who recently translated the words of Cardinal Bergoglio in the book On Heaven and Earth, Pope Francis on Faith, Family, and the Church in the 21st Century. Also, Dan Burke is with us. He talks with John Beaulieu of Franciscan University of Steubenville about the university's outreach during the Year of Faith and the university's new president. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke. He is executive director of the Register.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
Thank you, my friend. Also, Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Tom.
You know, we're glad to welcome Alejandro Bermudez to Register Radio. He is the executive director of Catholic News Agency, as well as the Spanish language counterpart ASI Prensa, and the Portuguese agency ASI Digital. Alejandro is a frequent contributor to the Register. He hosts several Spanish programs on EWTN, including Criterios on Radio Católica Mundial. His experience covering the Church in Latin America has been invaluable over the last few months as we have welcomed the first Pope from the Americas. Alejandro was one of the translators for Cardinal Bergoglio's words in the new book On Heaven and Earth, Pope Francis on Faith, Family, and the Church in the 21st Century. Alejandro, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be with you.
Thank you.
Recently translated On Heaven and Earth to English, it was published by Image Books, a division of Random House. But the Spanish version of the book was published back in 2010. It's the words of Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, but it's not actually a narrative. It's written in a conversation style. Tell us how the book came to be.
Well, thank you, Jeanette. Great to be with you. The book was actually, in fact, a conversation. It's a conversation between then Cardinal Bergoglio, the Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina, and the president of the rabbinic school, of the Jewish rabbinic school of Latin America, which is based in Buenos Aires. His name is Rabbi Abraham Skorka. So Abraham Skorka and Cardinal Bergoglio strike a friendship by soccer rivalry. You know that soccer is close to a religion in Argentina, and they both belong to opposing soccer teams. So the friendship started after some of the official events, interreligious official events in Buenos Aires, in the Argentina's capital. So after several conversations, Rabbi Skorka's assistant, who was impressed by the openness with which both discussed different issues from their own religious traditions, suggested a conversation that will go on for a year. Once a month, they will meet at the rabbinical school in Buenos Aires, and will hold conversations on issues that will be proposed by the rabbi's assistant, who happens to be a journalist by trade. So that's the origin of the book.
And were these conversations public originally?
No, they were. From the very beginning, the journalist and rabbi's assistant wanted them to become a book. So they knew at some point they were going to become public. But the conversations were held in a very, very informal meeting. Actually, I spent some time with Rabbi Skorka recently in the place in which they hold the conversation, which is at the back of the synagogue, and they will set a table, set some coffee and mate, and then start talking for almost a good part of a morning each month.
This book is obviously the thoughts and the words of Cardinal Bergoglio, but I expect it reveals a lot about how he thinks, and it reveals who Pope Francis is. Tell us what you think this reveals about Pope Francis.
It's an interesting question, since they talk about 20 plus issues in the book, some of them that are a little bit more relevant, say, for an Argentinian audience that was originally intended. But most of them are of interest for the whole world to know. And I think that Rather than giving you an exact picture or where today Pope Francis stands in some issues, which certainly does, book does, I think it gives us a much better and more interesting approach to the way the Pope thinks and the issues that are at his heart, like, for example, how crucial it is to the life for the life of the Church, the conversion of its members and the credibility of the Church based in the conversion of its members, rather than important but never definitive reforms that need to happen. Other issues like the sanctity of life and the care that we need to have for the poor that has to be unique to Catholics and cannot be confused with the social work with any other NGO. And you know that as Pope Francis, he has made that point already a couple of times. And in this book, you can see that that's almost an obsession in the good sense of the word.
This is Jeanette DeMello with Register Radio. I'm speaking with Alejandro Bermudez about the Pope's book on heaven and earth. Now, Alejandro, the Pope has this wonderful way of using analogy and stories and things like that to make his point. In this book, one of the something that caught my attention is when he was describing, talking about the topic of globalization, he said that it shouldn't be thought of that it's all uniform billiard balls, that it's got more richness than that. That was his analogy. Give us some sense of how the Pope, what the Pope's style or Cardinal Bergoglio's style is when speaking to get a point across.
You have to embed his mentality in what is called Porteño slang. Porteño stands for is the way the rest of Argentinians call those from Buenos Aires. They always use a very colorful language and constantly use comparisons. Instead of saying, for example, a common Argentinian expression or Porteño expression will be not only to say, oh boy, you're really happy, they will always use a figure of speech such as, you are happier than a dog on a meat store, for example, just to put you an example of some of the expressions they use. And the Pope is a Porteño 100%. So he will use expressions that you have probably seen as Pope that goes such as the sacrament of confession is not a laundry machine. So he will use daily metaphors and sure. metaphors taking or figures of speech taking from daily life to make a point across. And to the fact of being Porteño, you have to add the fact that he had a formation in literature and a great pleasure on the classics, that what he studied originally during his formation years. And therefore, he can enrich that not only with very concrete, daily life figures or images, he can make them beautiful. That's also the other side of these language he uses.
One of the things that he talks about that really struck me was about worldliness and this fear of the Church becoming too worldly. It's in one section, I think it's the last section on the future of religion, that he says that it's true that hedonism, consumerism, narcissistic cultures have infiltrated Catholicism. And he says that it makes it worldly, and that this causes the watering down of religion, and it's what he fears most. What kind of answer does he propose to this worldliness that he sees creeping into the Church?
Very simple, Jeanette. He time and again makes the point for the conversion of heart, so holiness in short. But he likes this image of the conversion of heart because it takes heart. No, pun intended. It really helps us understand that the that the only way to prevent worldliness, which, by the way, he believes is the worst disease that can affect the church, not only a grave disease, but the worst one, because any other thing, the church is has a kind of a spiritual immune system, but the worldliness basically attacks the church immune system, which is the belief that we can be transformed or the desire to be transformed by Christ from the center of our hearts. So he believes that there is the heart is the center of man. Man is in the center of the world and culture. So only the transformation of heart is going to bring to the transformation of the church and society.
Alejandro, we just have about a minute left, and I'd love for you to tell me a little bit more about your trip, your recent trip down to Buenos Aires. Is there one story that you can share with us before we leave?
Yes, very briefly, Jeanette, and thank you for the interview. It was amazing to talk to Jesuits that were, a few of them, very old teachers of Pope Francis, some colleagues, and some of his disciples, and see across all of them this profound joy and the belief that because of his skills, human and spiritual, he will be incredibly able to bring to the Catholic Church a lot of renewal and the joy of being a Christian, probably the most important thing.
Alejandro, thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to more of your reporting about Pope Francis in the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you also, Alejandro. Really appreciate hearing from you. We apologize to our listeners for the poor phone connection, but sometimes we just work with what we have. Thank you again, Alejandro. When we return, we're going to have an update for you from Franciscan University of Steubenville. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, John Beaulieu, has worked in the Christian Outreach Office of Franciscan University of Steubenville since 2003. Currently, he serves as Director of Partnerships and Engagements, helping to grow the conference outreach and develop resources to help participants grow year-round. He's part of the team that coordinates this summer youth and adult conferences. He has also spoken at several youth and adult conferences over the past decade. John Beaulieu, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, John, this is Dan Burke. It's great to have you with us. Before we jump into the exciting events happening with your conferences, you have a new president at Franciscan University, don't you?
Yeah, yes. We just announced that Father Sean Sheridan will be our new president. It's very exciting. He came to us from Catholic University, but he's a great TOR, and we're really excited about having him on our campus. There's a lot of excitement here.
If my numbers are right, he's the sixth president. And interestingly enough, he was an attorney. He was a late vocation, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe that. And in addition to his other legal work, he has a degree in canon law and just really sharp. Just a wonderful man. We're very blessed.
Considering the current battles we're facing with the HHS mandate and how it threatens institutions like our universities, his work as an attorney ironically enough, was focused on healthcare litigation, if my memory serves me. So we're grateful to have him at the helm there at Franciscan. But, John, let's jump in a bit to the amazing conference work you do. If you could get the other major faithful universities to let down their guards and talk about, you know, what's going on and other universities that are great, I would bet that most of them would point with amazement at the ability of Franciscan to get just thousands and thousands of kids, men and women who are discerning their vocations and discerning where to go to school, but also then alumni. But you really have just done something very special with your conference outreach, haven't you?
First, I'd like to say we've just been tremendously blessed. You know, this is really a movement, I think, that the Holy Spirit has ordained and given to us as a gift. And right now, as we enter into our 2013 conference season, we already have over 40,000 teens and their leaders signed up to attend one of our conferences.
Amazing, 40,000.
Yeah, and that's at 18 conferences that we do across the United States and Canada, including four that we do here on our campus. And we've been blessed with just some amazing partners who work with us to execute these conferences in a very excellent way. And we see the fruits, like you're saying, in vocation and conversion and lives being changed. Thousands of young people report, you know, just having profound encounters with Christ through what we do. And I think, I like to trust in the scripture where Jesus says, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men to myself. And I think that's what we do. We lift up Christ, and he draws the young people into what we do.
John, when this conference outreach started in 1976, there were only 1,000 participants. Now, that's no small feat just in and of itself. But what would you say is the key to the success of going from just 1,000 to 40,000? Is it the regionalization of the events? I mean, obviously the Holy Spirit is at work. How have you all yielded to the Spirit, if you will, in the way that you fulfill this the mission of these conferences?
Sure. You know, one of the great challenges and even a caution is to not get so caught up in how you do things and thinking that that's the measure of your success. Now, we have high standards. We want to do everything in an excellent way, and that includes changing our program, modifying it. You know, we're open every year to doing something new if that's what God wants. And then including, you know, like you said, engaging our partners. But ultimately, the success of our outreach comes from the fact that we have never drifted from the singular reality that it is Christ and his Spirit that changes the hearts of men and women and young people. And we trust God to do what he needs to do, and we leave lots of room for him in our planning. You know, we prayerfully go through every aspect of what we do so that it is anointed and blessed and really does flow from this desire to please God first and trust more in him than in ourselves.
Great. Now, John, you indicated, I think, were there 18 conferences going on this year around?
On the youth side, yes. 18 youth conferences, and then we're having another 6 events on our campus for adults.
Now, with respect to these 18, do each have a thematic element, like apologetics and that sort of thing?
The purpose of our conferences and our mission is to draw young people into a relationship with Christ. You know, in Deus Caritas Est, Pope Benedict XVI, or Pope Emeritus, he said, you know, Christianity is the result of an encounter with a person, with an event. And so what we try to do at every one of our youth conferences is create an environment where kids can encounter Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Great. Now, when you talk about encountering Christ, mm-hmm. and coming to know Christ, do you do that through particular themes, or is it just general preaching? I mean, give the listeners an example of what they might encounter at a conference. So if we have parents listening and parishes listening, youth ministers listening, what would draw them to these events? What are they going to find and encounter?
Sure. A couple of things. Ultimately, the experience where kids are encountering Christ are in the sacraments. Throughout the conference weekend, there's going to be 2 times for Eucharistic adoration. There is going to be a time we celebrate Mass twice. And on top of it, we have hours of time set aside where young people can go and receive the sacrament of reconciliation. And in that time, it's not uncommon, like a typical conference of 2,000 to 2,500, where you know, 75% or more of these young people will go to these sacraments, will receive reconciliation. I mean, some of these kids wait in line for 2 hours to receive the sacrament of reconciliation at our conferences. But in order to prep them for those encounters, you know, we use great music that really speaks to their heart and draws them into worship. We use dynamic speakers from across the country, the best of what our church has produced in terms of people who can effectively preach the gospel to young people. And then it's just a prayerful experience from start to finish where we just slowly draw young people into the presence of Christ. And then because we're trusting in the sacraments, he is the one who is, you know, so desirous of making himself known that if these young people go to that sacrament, they open their hearts, Christ just floods into their lives in such a powerful way. And it's beautiful to witness, and the fruit has been amazing for us.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. Nobody can doubt what you're doing with respect to the numbers that are turning out and even the testimonies. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. We're with John Beaulieu from Franciscan University, Steubenville, talking about the youth outreach, which is just exploding, constantly expanding, and really bringing so many folks to come and know and love Christ in a profound way in their lives and to live that out. Now, John, recently you have some new development in your outreach, and that is an online faith community that can be found at steubenville.org. Can you tell us a bit about that?
One of the things that we know is kids oftentimes have these experiences, these encounters with Christ, and it is very much like the scriptural precedent of having that mountaintop experience that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus. But, eventually we know these kids need to come down off the mountain, and they need to learn how to walk as faithful followers, as faithful disciples of Christ. And that takes a community. It takes resources. It takes ongoing feeding of their spiritual needs. Now, we know that that happens best in the local church community, through their youth ministries, through their local parishes, but what we want to do is provide tools and engagement that help and aid that process. So we are developing a number of initiatives and relationships with other national ministries to populate our website with the best of Catholic content that will engage young people, keep them walking on that path with Christ all year round. And so Steubenville will become less like a weekend mountaintop high and more like part of their ongoing conversion process, and we'll have those tools to help them incorporate that experience back into their lives and really start to live an authentic Catholic life as an ongoing follower, disciple of Christ.
Yeah, and we're delighted at National Catholic Register to provide register content to those students, both our blogging and then our news coverage. And folks can find it at all of this at www.steubenville.org, right?
Yes, steubenville.org is exactly
okay.
It.
And if they've missed a conference, will they be able to get information there from the prior conferences?
We are in the process, and we did this last year for the first time, as we recorded every session, every talk at the conference, and it's our goal within the week, by the close of the weekend, within, 72 hours, to have that video up online for kids to come back and watch and be re-inspired, but also to share with their friends and bring people who've never experienced Steubenville into that experience. So we're coming up with a plan to archive these talks online so that in the next 5 years, we'll be able to see talks going back 5 years. But, the idea is to keep these kids fed, these young people that we serve fed, by being able to kind of re-listen to a talk that inspired them on the weekend and challenge them so that they can continue to grow and be connected to the event after it's over.
Well, another aspect of this outreach that I thought was a fantastic idea is this interactive prayer forum on steubenville.org. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we know that in young people's lives, they're really driven by the social media, and there's lots of applications and functions on these sites where they can check in. So, like, if you're at a restaurant, you can check in, I'm here, and they take a picture of their meal and they upload it because I think they think people really are excited about what they're eating. I guess that's popular. But what we thought is, why couldn't we socialize their faith life? So what we've incorporated is two things into our prayer board, kind of check-in board, and that's, number one, they can check in when they go to adoration. They can check in when they go to confession. They can check in when they go to Mass, and they simply open up, we have a smartphone app that goes along with our website that contains most of the content, all the talks. They can watch these talks and listen to these talks on their smartphones, but also they can open it up and click, yes, I'm going to confession. And then all of a sudden on this national board will pop up a little icon saying, Billy from, you know, Wisconsin is going to adoration. And all of a sudden, you know, you see on this board, you know, all these dots from across the country of young people who are active in their faith. And when they go there, they feel like, I'm not the only one who's doing this. You know, there's other Catholics across this country who are practicing their faith, and I can be proud of my Catholic identity and not feel like I have to hide it or run from that, but live it out boldly in this world. And, you know, we're hoping that they can be encouraged by that.
You know, John, Dan and I are just looking at each other, smiling, thinking, you know, Steubenville is so far ahead of everybody in this kind of evangelization. And my prayer, my personal prayer, is that more universities and colleges will you know, step up and do what you folks are doing.
Well, I hope so. You know, we are very blessed to have what we have going on here. You know, like I think, you know, we've worked hard. You know, we have we partner with great people to produce this content. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's a team effort, but it's also, you know, we don't rest. You know, I mean, some people would say,
sure,
oh, you got 40,000 coming to conferences. Well, when you look at the fact that there's almost 7 million Catholic high school students in the United States right now, and so many of them have become disconnected from their faith, our job has just begun. You know, we're not resting on our laurels. We're looking at ways to creatively penetrate into their world with the gospel. You know, and it's the days of being able to say, oh, just come check out the church are over. We have to go after them and go where they live. And the media and the internet and these smartphone apps is a key way of connecting with them and to help encourage them and to build up their Catholic identity.
No pressure, right?
No pressure at all.
Well, John, this has been a fantastic time. Give us that website one more time, if you would, please.
Sure. You can check out our youth conferences at www.steubenville.org, and that's where you'll find those follow-up resources as well. If you want information about any of our adult conferences, right now you'd go to www.franciscanconferences.com.
John Beaulieu, thank you so much for joining us this time on Register Radio.
Thank you, Dan.
Really appreciate hearing from everybody. And don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Just look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio. For Jeanette, Dan, all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.